Well, it is an issue that comes up all the time. We hear about all of these recidivists, repeat offenders who have been convicted in one case, Francisco Calderon, been convicted 72 times and still walks free. A Seattle judge actually put him in jail for a year, and the Seattle City prosecutor wasn't happy about that. But there is a perception that we have a revolving door of justice. And this came up again on Monday when a guy named Anthony Chilcott, he had been arrested by Black Diamond Police on October 28th. The prosecutor requested a $5,000 bond, and a judge, Judge Allred, said, no, we're going to release him on personal recognizance. He then went on to steal a truck with a dog inside. There was a police chase, and Anthony Chilcott was killed by the police in the ensuing melee. I wanted to shine some light for you, my listener, on exactly what the process is. And so I'm happy to tell you that the presiding judge with King County Superior Court, Judge James Rogers, joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Your Honor, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Dory, I'm happy to be here and talk with you and have your listeners get some information about how the justice system works.
Okay, and I know that you are somewhat restricted talking about open cases, and let me ask you, since Anthony Chilcott, since he is now dead, is that an open case? Are you still restricted in being able to talk about that case specifically?
You know, I can talk about the case to some degree. You're absolutely correct. Since he's dead, the case is closed. The case has actually been dismissed. What I'm not going to do is comment on another judge's decision, but I'm happy to talk about the facts of the case and talk to you more generally about the framework a judge uses in approaching a release decision.
Okay. Well, in this case, we had a prosecutor, and the Black Diamond police commander said he thought that it was an appropriate bond request. The prosecutor asked for a $5,000 bond on this guy, and Judge Allred released him on personal recognizance. So explain to me what the factors that come into this decision are.
Sure. So first of all, let me just preface this by saying what Mr. Chilcott did afterwards, stealing the car. I think we've all seen the video.
Yes.
With the dog inside. Obviously, that was an incredibly serious event and trying to run from the police. But the question is what happened on November 13th. So the 30,000-foot overview is that cases are filed into criminal court to judges with just the prosecutor's information. Judge Schaefer found probable cause that Mr. Chilcott had committed the offense of malicious mischief. That was breaking up the police interior of the police car, and put a $5,000 warrant on it. And then there's a live hearing where Mr. Chilcott's present with his lawyer and the prosecutor. So the rule is a criminal rule that is the basis for our decision. And people must be released on their personal recognizance. The rule actually says, unless you're charged with a capital crime, shall be ordered released on personal recognizance pending trial unless one of three reasons apply. One is the failure to appear in the future. The second is a likely danger the accused will commit a violent crime. And the third is an intimidation of witnesses. So when you're looking at these factors, the rule goes on to talk more about that. And with Mr. Chilcott, because it wasn't a violent crime that was charged, we're talking about a property crime, you're looking at the likely failure to appear in court. So here's a couple of things.
Well,
the rule
let me ask
about.
You a question about that, though, because he did have a violent history, had very violently resisted cops in the past where they had to and they had to use a taser on him again on October 28th. But he has a long criminal history and you know, very violent criminal history. And then the first point you brought up, Your Honor, was if there's a likelihood that they will not appear in court. This guy had no known address, and I would argue there was a certainty that he was not going to appear for a subsequent court hearing once he was released.
So those are some of the factors that we look at. First of all, let me talk about the offense itself. there are people that have had criminal convictions for violent offenses. Mr. Chilcott's two latest convictions, I think, were for misdemeanors. But, you know, people have convictions for robbery, assault, sexual assault, very serious cases. But this charge was not that. It was a property crime. I'm not saying he didn't act violently with the police when they tried to arrest him, but there was no underlying charge. So we're really looking at, in our view, at a property crime. The second is, okay, what about the failure to appear in court? Because you raise a good point. We look at the number of prior warrants. Is he employed? Does he have family ties? There are other factors in the rule. And at the hearing, the prosecutor, of course, argued about the offense, which I think you've accurately portrayed, that he resisted the arrest of the police. The defense lawyer brought up that he had a pending warrant from Black Diamond for $2,500, and he had had prior warrants in his earlier case, but that he had a job in a restaurant and that he had family member giving him financial support. So, you know, you're looking at limited information with a judge who hears that he does have a warrant, which he's going to have to go back in custody and address, and he has to get out in front of the Black Diamond court. He has to actually appear, and he apparently did get out, although I don't, frankly, have the records on that. He has prior warrants, but on the other hand, it looks like Mr. Chilcott now has a job, and he has somebody who's helping him out financially. So the judge, essentially, and I've listened to the court hearing, said, you know, you have prior warrants, but I'm going to let you out on this offense. But if you blow it once, you're going back to jail. And that was the decision the judge made in this case.
But hasn't he blown it many times? And I'll combine that with another question. If he had family financial support, why not go with the prosecutor's recommendation of the $5,000 bond? I mean, if his family is not able or willing, because they don't think he's going to show up, to post that bond, I mean, isn't that the whole purpose of the bond, is a way to try to ensure that somebody will show up in court?
The purpose of the bond is to ensure that somebody will show up in court. It provides a measure of security for the court. Typically, someone would pay a percentage of the bond, and then the bonding company would guarantee the whole thing.
Right.
You know, the fact that he got released at the arraignment hearing is probably why no one ever really got to that next step. And I really have no information as to whether or not his sister, in this instance, would have posted money for a bond. All I can really tell you is that the judge had to weigh on the negative that he'd had some prior warrants on a case that was resolved in pretty minor convictions. And on the positive, he now had a job. He had somebody who was helping him out financially, and he was willing to go resolve the Black Diamond warrant, which he apparently did and got out, because we know, because he then stole the truck. So I think it's important, let me say this, it's important to look at this not in the rearview mirror, but what the judge knew at the time, because obviously if a judge knew that Mr. Chilcott was going to go out and steal a car with somebody's dog, you know, and that video is crazy. Let's just say it. He drove away with the gas pump still on the car.
Yeah.
If somebody knew had any inkling of that, they would not have let him out.
But that's where really I would argue, Judge, that the cops knew. The cops knew when he was released, and the cops are furious with our judicial system right now in King County, because it is their perception that the judges are letting people go when the cops have a certainty that they're going to reoffend. And there just seems to, I mean, because I appreciate you talking with me. I talk with cops all the time. And there seems to be a gigantic disconnect right now between law enforcement and the judicial system in King County.
Well, I would say that when it comes to violent offenses, we have a fair number of people in the King County jail being held because the judge has decided there's a substantial danger of them committing a violent offense. I think when it comes to property offenses, there's a stronger presumption of release because you're looking at likely failure to appear. Some people don't have very few warrants. Some people with more warrants are kept. It's sort of hard to address this in the abstract. And I understand that, and I very much respect the work that the police do each and every day in our community. But, you know, we operate on the information at that arraignment hearing and that bond hearing given both by the prosecutor and by the defense attorney. And I think sometimes it's not always known by the public what information might be given at that hearing. Like, you probably didn't know that Mr. Chilcott apparently had a job and that he actually was being supported by a family member. And again, in looking at this now, you know, it's shocking what Mr. Chilcott did and what happened. But that's not the information that the judge had at the time.
Okay, and again, the cops are telling me that they are certain they're going to reoffend when they are released. But the cops are telling me that after the fact as well. All right, hold on, Judge. We're talking with King County Presiding Superior Court Judge James Rogers. And I have a lot more to ask him, so we will continue as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.